Welcome into the InfoWars War Room is Raw. And it is the last Friday, hard to believe the last Friday of April. I almost can't even believe it as I'm sitting here looking at the calendar, looking at the date. But yeah, here we are almost a third through this epic 2020. And you know, I just have to get this off my chest now, or otherwise it's going to be sitting in my crawl. And quite frankly, I think there's a few folks that feel the same way around here. You can probably see it. But I'm basically a F1 race car that has been running without taking a break or stopping for gas or getting new tires. And the threads are wearing thin. And so I feel like I'm coming up here facing Bill Gates every day and realizing we all know what has to be done, but we're all wondering why it's not being done. As we just continue to be vindicated over and over again, it just sort of drives me crazy. So I try to take a step back from it all today. And I think I'll maybe be taking some time off next week, but I was just taking a step back and I was looking at everything we've done here on the War Room in the last 5 months. And it really is just incredible what we've done here on this broadcast, thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com. And what we're doing this weekend, tomorrow in Texas, is kind of like such an integral part of it. But I feel like for me and the War Room, it's like a bookend on everything we've done fighting this tyranny, fighting the fake news for the last 5 months. And it's like a bookend on this shelf. And now we're ready to just basically level up. And we're ready to get onto the next bookshelf. But, you know, sometimes when you do that, there's a ceremony type of thing. It's like just in any video game. You know, you beat the level, you get a little theme song, a little award. Do-do-do-do-do-do. A shiny thing pops up. So I kind of feel like that's where I'm at right now. But it really is, we're to the point now, it's just like, we're ready to go next level, we're ready to get to the next shelf, and I think we're going to really start seeing things overall take that analogy to the whole geopolitical developments. Because I was also sitting here thinking about what is to come before November, and folks, we've really just begun this fight. And it's like overwhelming to think what we're in store for. But this is the Veterans Call-In Show. We're taking your calls all 3 hours. Great veteran guests coming up. But again, folks, tomorrow, You Can't Close America Rally 2, Austin, Texas, State Capitol Building. We put together a little promo for this coming up tomorrow. And that goes something like this.
USA! USA! USA!
Americans out here that don't seem to be afraid of a virus. What are they going to do if we have events like this all over the country with thousands of people showing up and the virus doesn't spread like they told us to? What are they going to do then?
We salute you, Texas. We salute America.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We're back at it. Tomorrow, Alex Jones and myself, Texas State Capitol, downtown Austin, Texas, noon to two. And I'll be doing the same thing I did last Saturday. I have one thing up my sleeve that I may pull tomorrow with you guys. I have one thing that I may do differently tomorrow, but otherwise it's going to be pretty much the same thing. Hey, I'll be hanging out for 2 hours. You want to come hang out, shake my hand, take a picture, tell me a story, whatever. It's all tomorrow, but we're fighting to show Americans we're not afraid. Reopen now. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live on this Friday, April 24th. The InfoWars War Room is Raw, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Last Friday of the month, so you know what that means. It's the Veterans Call-In Show. We take calls from veterans and have veteran special guests for the entire 3 hours. I got a pretty light news desk here, but I do have some stories I want to get to. And our special veteran guest for today, who's been on with us many times, but, you know, it's funny, Chris, because before the show, I was actually told I've been pronouncing your name wrong my entire life. So Chris, what is your name? It doesn't matter what your name is, because in the New World Order, you better take your microchip if you want to leave your house.
You know, I wanted to make sure that I got Bill Gates' nickname right. I got my notepad here. Was it Chicken Neck Goblin? I was watching that the last hour. And
no, it's chicken necked Nelly or chicken necked goblin.
Okay. Yes. I wanted to make sure that I got my Bill Gates designation correctly.
We'll take either one. Either answer is fine. So folks, Chris Nyewaim is with us. Oh, you've got your little
This is just in case Bill Gates joins the show. If Bill Gates joins the show, we're gonna have the mask, but I'm not going to wear it now because
I did invite Bill Gates to my house for dinner. He hasn't responded yet.
Yeah, he is. And forgive the haircut. I mean, look, this is a.
Oh, COVID, I know, man. You got to get a black market haircut.
I'm going for the COVID experience here. So,
you know, I will say this, and we will have some fun with Chris today. But, you know, Chris has been impacted by this coronavirus thing. It is a real thing. And so it is an interesting perspective, though, to have somebody who has been directly impacted by this and he can divulge what he wants. But still getting his opinion, it's not going to be what the mainstream media wants it to be. It's still living in the real world, accepting the facts, accepting the realities, but then also saying, hey, look, that doesn't mean that we just have to have an entirely new world and give up all of our freedoms because of this. So it's a very delicate situation. And I'm looking forward to taking calls for the next 3 hours. With the guests that we have coming up, other special veterans guests, and then just people that call in. But, you know, Chris, let's just come out of the gates. I mean, you've been personally affected by this. If you want to share that with the audience, feel free to. But, you know, what do you think about this whole response? What do you think now we're in this, you know, 2 month shutdown and people are still going about, the virus isn't spreading. I've been to 2 rallies. I've never done social distancing, mask, gloves, any of that stuff. I'm okay. So. What do you make of this whole notion that, oh my gosh, you're going to die if you go out and get it. We have to give up all of our freedoms. But, you know, while also saying, okay, hey, look, there was a real virus. It came out of China. We do need to react to this. But since when do we just sacrifice the country?
Absolutely. I mean, look, that's a great question. And I have been impacted. I think many people have. But I've been personally impacted, and it has been – it is like living in a science fiction movie. I mean, honestly, in a way, it's almost kind of like The Matrix in some ways. You know, I mean, and I think a lot of the threats to us globally are conceptual at this point, but they could be very real. I mean, there's, you know, our freedom is being very much hindered for what I think is necessary in very short term, very heavily overseen methods, and we're seeing in some cases that's not the problem. But just to kind of focus in on the to go from like high level to low level, my dad has been infected with the coronavirus, and he has been fighting for his life, really. I mean, it has been vicious, and it's a very interesting story, and it is a little political. I mean, it's impossible to avoid the politics on this because, you know, my grandmother was in a memory care facility in Illinois, elderly and really kind of in that later stage of life where quality of living is an issue. And he was told she was really in the end, very end. And so he made the decision to weigh the risks and drive from Florida to Illinois to be with his mom. And when he arrived, she ended up she passed away last week or the week before last, and was 93 years old, lived a great life. But the coronavirus ended up getting into the nursing home. And this wasn't learned until days after he had been there. And she ended up living for a week and a half. So we don't want to really stress our healthcare workers more than they already are, but they definitely got that wrong. I mean, you're going to be, she has less than a day to live, and then you live in a week and a half. So he wouldn't have gone to Illinois had it not been for that particular medical recommendation. So he gets to Illinois, and within a few days, we've got the report that there's 5 workers that have been contaminated, and it was total panic. And not panic, but close to panic. I mean, very anxious. and the executive director of the facility tested positive. So he had been talking to her for the whole week. So he did get the coronavirus. My grandmother passed away. Now, she was allegedly not having coronavirus, and I don't know that she displayed the symptoms, but you don't know. So she's not going to be counted, but now the deaths in that facility have been the third highest in the state. It was on the news last week, and it was surreal. I was actually watching Owen Schroyer walking around looking very handsome and brave, wearing black, I believe, on Fox News on one channel down in Austin protest stuff and freedom stuff. And then on the other channel, I'm literally sitting watching Illinois news of the facility my grandmother just passed away in, literally on the news, and the governor, who just gets fatter by the day. I mean, look, I'm not one of these people that hit people on their weight, but my goodness, you're a billionaire. Get a personal trainer, do something. He's on TV talking about how we need to protect our elders after it's too late, because the state of Illinois actually didn't worry about their procedures, their inventory. He was trying to score points against President Trump, which failed. And there's the picture of Owen. Actually, I was watching that from the hotel room. And there's so much more to talk about, but I'm just in this first segment, I want to get the highlights here. Had been talking about the president, but had nothing to do with the state of Illinois, their procedures. There's Pritzker. I got a couple other nicknames for him. It's Pritzker, but the first word is a little bit different. It rhymes with lick, but we'll go there later, Owen, I'm sure. But so my dad contracted this because of being in there. So he was in ICU. He's just been transferred out of there, which is great news. He was literally fighting for his life for days. We had to fight to get him in there. He was delirious. He was sleep deprived. His mom just died and has literally been fighting this thing. And it has been a rough ride, man. And a lot of people are going through this, but and I know we got a break coming up in a bit, but I do want to go into the state of Illinois angle. I do want to go into the failures of Chicago and the failures of the state of Illinois, because we've just got to get into this governor who's a total phony fraud. And look, not every side has the perfect perspective. I think the federal government could do a couple things better. And I think that President Trump's been pretty good on this. I think there's been a couple things that have been kind of tricky. There's one in Joliet, Illinois. That's the big one. My grandmother was in Harvester Place. That's definitely going to be popping up on media as well. So my dad is hanging in there. He is actually, I'm going to tell him we're going to be doing 3 hours here, so maybe he can watch, because he's literally now he's quarantined in a hotel in Illinois. I mean, it's like a sci-fi movie, everything that's going on. But I've definitely been at the forefront of this. I've traveled once. I did wear a mask. I took procedures. But I think there's a way to have a balance between freedom and safety. And I think you're on the right side of this, though, and leading the way that we've got to lean towards freedom and work it that way, because the economic damage and the psychological damage is on pace now with what's going on with the medical picture. So I'll stop there to kind of throw it back to you, because I know we got a break coming up in a bit. But that's sort of the 101 on what's been going on with the family and with the coronavirus. And it is a crazy time, man, to be at Reagan Airport with no one there. And no traffic. I mean, it's almost like paradise in a way. But then you think about the impacts on our freedom. So that's just sort of a global overview I wanted to kind of get over to you.
And I think, the frustrating thing is we know so much about this that we obviously didn't know when it was first breaking out. We have enough knowledge now to make informed, smart decisions, and we're just not doing it. We're doing the exact opposite, and it's going to cost us everything. But, it's really at this point, it's come down to the same thing, folks, and this is all about getting Trump. The coronavirus hoax is now all about getting Trump on a political level. And then on a worldwide level, it's all about selling you to take a vaccine or get a digital microchip so that, in fact, I'll make my big prediction next coming up about what I think is going to happen, what I think the plan is. They may have to call an audible, folks. That may be a little foreshadowing. But I'll tell you what I think is coming up with Chris Nyweim and special guests.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Chris Nyweim is our special special guest for 3 hours today. We got other special guests coming up as well. Your calls. I'm going to give out the phone number in the next segment. You know, Chris, I guess you would technically say, yes, I see your t-shirt. He's wearing it loud and proud. Go ahead. Let's reveal the new outfit.
No, this COVID haircut, I'm just going to put a hat on. I'm not really a backwards hat kind of guy. There's actually never a guy.
That's right. You need a haircut. It's fine.
So.
You got the Roger Stone, did nothing wrong. The Stone Cold Truth shirt on as he's a couple weeks away from, having to face jail time. But, you know, I guess you would technically be considered a lobbyist, but I don't consider you a lobbyist because you don't work for a corporation. You're not lobbying for private companies. You're literally down in D.C., folks. He goes into the swamp, lobbies for veterans to make sure veterans are getting funded, not being forgotten. And so that's why Chris is our special guest today and has been in the past. And he's got a couple special guys that are going to be calling in as well. What is just the state right now with the veterans you work with? What is the state of mind? What are people saying? What are they thinking?
Yeah, you know, being a veteran in America right now, it's interesting. I mean, we've got the best benefits we ever had on paper. We've got a $200 billion plus budget. I think it's $280 billion, the VA. I've lost track of it all. And that's me doing a President Trump impression for Billy Bush, by the way, in the cover photo. He thought it was hilarious. I do think that I do a great job, Frank Leo, and I think what you've done has been incredible. But I don't want to get off task. I'll save that for the end because that's – you know, we got to have some humor in this COVID world because it's been stressful, especially for a lot of veterans right now. Mental health issues, unemployment issues, substance abuse issues. We have the same issues that other people have, but I think you add on the intensity of multiple deployments, injuries, it's tough. So we've got a robust VA that, as you know, you've reported on repeatedly. It's had a lot of issues. And under the Obama administration, there were a lot more issues, in my view, because the unions were basically in charge of everything. And it's just, look, I mean – The fantasy of communist, you know, socialist healthcare is great on its best day. This fantasy of it's just robust, it's big, everyone gets it. But when you're living it, the problem is there's no other choices. You don't have a choice to go to another doctor. You don't have a choice to do something different. And if you don't think that culture of just abstaining from your responsibilities permeates, it does. So there's a lot of problems with the VA. Trump's made it a lot better with streamlining technology, allowing for private appointments, this Mission Act. But it outlives presidencies. I mean, it's going to be – the VA is going to be big and a massive bureaucracy with 300,000 employees after President Trump in the future. So it's one of those things that it's going to continue to be a challenge. But, you know, it's gotten better, and I think the state of veterans are – they want to know about, are they going to have good health care? Are they going to be able to get jobs? Are they going to be able to get, you know, their disability pay for those that have had, you know, real injuries and blah, blah, blah. It's bureaucracy. It's government. I mean, everyone has to deal with it. But I think it's gotten better under Trump. That's my takeaway. And look, you know, I'll brag a little bit since the world might be ending soon. I've done a lot of lobbying for veterans, and I've got a lot of things done. I've preserved millions of dollars in benefits for mostly kind of rare funding items that most people don't know about. I mean, aviation flight training is something I've been able to help preserve with several of my clients that have basically been out there training veterans and doing things. And it's, you know, we're kind of the small business. You know, we're like, I don't know if any of the viewers are punk rock fans, but like we're like the NOFX. of lobbying. I mean, we're like the DIY small business thing. So it's, you know, we're lucky veterans. We've got a lot of unique perspectives. I think we've got some advantages in some ways, but in other ways, we have spent years serving and doing other things where we're not sitting there benefiting ourselves economically. So it's always great to have the war room, you know, just talking about vets. I mean, look, hey, veterans don't get a lot of media attention. Let's be honest. I mean, veterans, I mean, the veteran call-in show is great because what? I mean, Fox News, I like Fox News. I watch Fox News a lot. Fox News doesn't, I mean, how much have you heard about veterans issues? How much have you heard about veterans issues on the Democrat primaries? I mean, you only hear it when you have the veteran Democrats bragging about themselves and talking about themselves like beta narcissists. So, that's kind of the overview. That's the state of the VA from me.
I would wonder, though, what is it like, you know, if you're a veteran in Florida and you want to go to the park and you're told, hey, you're not free in this country. I mean, to me, I mean, I just can't even fathom knowing that you've spilled blood in other countries, you know, signing up in the name of sacrifice for this country. Then you're told you can't go to a park. If you own a restaurant, you can't open your doors. You can't seat people. You can't serve them at the bar. I mean, my head would be spinning. I mean, I'm in a fit of rage over this.
Look, I mean, I think everyone should always be weary of government. I think that the InfoWars team has been getting this right for years. I mean, and from the very beginning, going back with just like 9/11 stuff, there's so many different perspectives on it. I mean, I'm kind of in the middle on some of that stuff. But I mean, InfoWars has been right about a lot of stuff. And that's just the way it is. And for people to question someone's ability to ask questions – And you'll have to let us wrap up the COVID thing because I have one COVID story that is just so perfect. It mixes in.
Well, look, I'm debating actually now cutting you off because you just did a Nancy Pelosi and touched your nose in the middle of communicating with other humans. Did you? Yeah, put your mask on. Did you actually see this though? Nancy Pelosi rubs her snot nose and then rubs it all over the desk. Now, look, I'm not one saying, oh, my gosh, the virus is going to kill you. It's everywhere. It's just hilarious as they're literally saying, we can't reopen. If you go to the, you know, if you walk outside, you're going to kill somebody with the virus. She literally wipes her snot on the podium that everybody's stepping up to. I mean, like, these people are so out of touch. She's over here showing off her hoard of chocolate ice cream in her $25,000 refrigerator. I mean, how out of touch do these people get?
I mean, she is kind of the consummate phony. You know, I mean, it's like you got the chocolate ice cream in the refrigerator, which is fine, but you've got the guns around your house, the walls around your house. But I'll tell you, before the next break, I'm just going to make this a fast story. But long story short, and this is not a joke, this is real. I actually had a police officer bang down my door the other day in the Chicago suburbs at my hotel. I opened the door. I thought it was room service or, you know, they were just someone from the staff. And they were like, we need to talk to you, Chris. And I was like, I mean, Owen, I haven't drank in a while. I'm like, I don't know what the hell is going on. I didn't do anything.
You're like, this is the one time I'm innocent. What the hell?
I felt like Owen Schroyer. I'm like, I'm going to jail. You know, but the bottom line is it ended up being an error. They were looking for another veteran who was having an issue. Someone had called on them, and they had a very similar last name to mine. I mean, it was just so random.
What was their last name? It doesn't matter what their last name is.
You got me again on that one, by the way. hopefully the veteran's okay. They found him, and I looked at the report. They had the DOB wrong, and they clearly didn't, you know, meticulously figure it out. So it's a funny story now, but it was a great COVID story because I'm like, I'm in a hotel. I'm in Illinois. I can't even see my dad who's fighting for his life. I have the police knocking on my door telling me to come outside. And I'm like, is the world about to end? Like,
a crazy time, man. That is just wild stuff. It's
the music to play, you know, but I didn't do anything, man.
It's the coronavirus clown world, man. You just never know what's going to happen next. But, you know, on a serious note, I'm seeing these stories too. You know, people unable to see their loved ones, their fathers, their you know, wives, husbands that are in the hospital for coronavirus. I mean, even that is skeptical.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
This is big. We've got big news coming up right now.
You're listening to the sworn enemy of fake news. It's
folks,
the War Room.
You know that it's constantly moving parts around here, and you never know what's going to happen next. And so Alex Jones has actually, well, I wasn't a part of this, but I'm hearing about this. We've just made a huge deal. This is like landmark deal. Like, this is like the art of the deal with President Trump. This is like Vince McMahon. Like Vince McMahon signing a deal in the middle of a WWE ring. I mean, this is the biggest deal. So, Alex, tell the audience what you just told me, the big announcement you're making here.
Well, bottom of the next hour, we're going to premiere the new show sponsored by Facebook, bro.
Yeah, we're getting some of that Facebook cash.
So I didn't take the deal 4 years ago when Zuckerberg offered it. We took the deal. Now, there were a few strings, but you know what? When you can't beat them, join them. So InfoWars just got bought out by Facebook. Bottom of the next hour, we're going to premiere the new programming because they didn't just send me to a training camp. I've been building this up, but they sent McBreen to one. And I'm really proud of this, and I think it's the right thing. And I was wrong about Jeff Zuckerberg.
Well, they sent you a nice shirt and hat, too.
Well, no, but listen, don't joke around. I know you, Owen, you'll still be allowed to say
I that. Like that shirt. What are
you're
you talking about?
You're going to be
about?
Allowed to talk about what you want after it's been approved by fact checkers, okay?
I'm okay with that, as long this, as I get listen, that Facebook cast.
This is going to fix a lot of problems,
all
right?
All right.
So don't joke around. This isn't a joke, okay?
No, I've been ready, InfoWars
got
Alex.
Bought by Facebook 2 days ago. It's official, and I want to show you, bottom of the next hour, 55 minutes from now, what's going to happen. Owen, don't make, listen, don't make jokes about Zuckerberg. We got a deal, okay?
I told you, I if we cut that deal.
All right, get back to your guest. You got a couple of them. Seriously.
No, it's fine.
Listen, bottom of the next hour, folks. InfoWars sold to Facebook. We love it.
I love Mark Zuckerberg.
I love him.
All hail Mark Zuckerberg, king of everything.
Don't
king.
Go around, Owen. This is serious.
I'm worshiping Mark Zuckerberg right now. Oh, is it not till we can't officially start
listen,
until next week?
This isn't a joke, dude.
All right, Alex. All right. I'll wait and I'll read my contract with Facebook before
it's
I say
it. It's very anything. Reasonable.
All right, I trust you, but more than anything, I trust Mark Zuckerberg. So that's the key, folks. All right, so there's the big news coming up in the next hour, ladies and gentlemen. Big announcement from Alex Jones. He's giving you the exclusive right here in the War Room in an hour. He just gave you a little tease right there. Okay, we've got another veteran joining us now. Daniel Merritt is with us via Skype. And I know I was informed that you are, I'm literally getting all the information just hours before show. Are you the individual that is running against Maxine Waters?
No, no. I'm running. No, I'm not.
Okay. Correct me. I'm fake news, but you are running for office.
Yes, I am. I'm running for Congress in Georgia's 1st District. I'm running against a certified swamp rat named Buddy Carter.
Oof. Those swamp rats. Those Democrat swamp rats down there. Georgia, though, I would think there's a lot of momentum for Republicans right now. You know, let me ask you this, since you're down there in Georgia. Governor Kemp comes out, makes some strong statements. I support what he said. I think he's doing a strong thing. I think it's a smart move. But there's obviously been some backlash, including from President Trump. I didn't really understand that, but that did happen. What has been the response of the citizens of Georgia, though, to Kemp?
I mean, I think the citizens of Georgia, you know, they're ready to open up. I don't know the details of the disagreement between Kemp and the president. I know that the people in this district have a strong allegiance to Donald Trump, our president, and they also have a strong allegiance to our governor. I think they have a decent relationship, but Georgia's ready to get back to work big time.
What is the atmosphere in Georgia? Because I drive around Texas. I mean, it's still not normal traffic, but I mean, you wouldn't know that we're in some sort of a lockdown. You wouldn't think it. I mean, it's weird with all the people going around in masks, but people are still going about in the town. They're still going to get groceries wherever they can. They're still the parks are more busy than I've ever seen. Is it kind of the same story in Georgia?
You know, Savannah downtown is a huge tourist place where people come from all over the world. It is like a ghost town. It's completely quiet. You know, grocery stores, Walmart, you know, everybody's still running around looking for toilet paper. But other than that, I mean, yeah, it's starting to open up. You know, today was the day, and I think, you know, we'll be a pretty good test case to opening up this early. And I think we're going to be okay.
Merrittforcongress.com is where you can find more information about his campaign. And if you're in Georgia, help him get into office. It's going to be very important to get some true patriots into this next upcoming Congress, folks, like Daniel Merritt. Chris, I didn't ask you, what is it like? You've been in Illinois, just outside of Chicago, buzzing around the Chicago area. What has it been like? Street activity, commerce activity? Is it a ghost town or is it still kind of, you know, activity going on?
It's very much a ghost town. Like Danny was saying, and he's doing such a great job down there in Georgia. And ironically, now remember this too, Owen, there's Republicans in Congress that are lame and are establishment and are not fighting for people. I mean, they're not really trying to get with the Trump agenda and change things. They're enriching themselves. I'm pretty sure Danny's opponent, who's an establishment Republican, just bought a whole bunch of land, millions of dollars worth of land, while other people are just completely economically decimated. So it's great having a Army veteran like Danny out there fighting the good fight, also a small business owner, good friend of mine. Yeah, and like Georgia, Illinois, it did feel like a little bit of a ghost town, a lot less activity there. It's a beauty. I mean, I've always said Chicago is a beautiful city. It's just the politics. It's just a phony, just politicians there, like the governor, who I swear every time he talks, I'm waiting for him to say there's no more food in Illinois because he ate it all. I mean, the guy just getting worse and worse and worse.
There's a food shortage in Illinois because it's all at the governor's mansion.
It's Pritzker. I mean, Pritzker. He, you know, and again, look, it's not a big political thing, but with what happened with my old man, who probably might be watching by now, for the governor to go out and go after Trump, and I want to kind of know what Danny's thinking about this too, because he's in the political world and running for Congress and going to be a voice for veterans, because his opponent's not a veteran. He apparently thinks he does because he takes pictures in like planes. I think he wants to fool people that he is. You know, it's for him to go after Trump and talk about, you know, the federal government not in this. I mean, the state needs to take care of its people, its protocols. And then you ask the federal government for funding. You got to get your stuff straight first. You're not in an ambush. You don't go ask for reinforcements while your whole platoon gets shot, you know. And, you know, Danny's got a Bronze Star. You know, he was an officer, did a lot of stuff over there. I mean, I don't think that he would let his platoon get shot first and then go ask. And so for Illinois, and again, I don't want to get too into the politics on that, because it's just the more we kind of get caught in that, we're not focusing on real people. But, you know, and there's a lot of people on Facebook as well that just – you know, the Facebook discussions with liberals just going after Trump, they don't even know the Constitution. I mean, states need to take care of their people and then work with the federal government.
Well, let's be clear. Democrat governors are openly admitting that they don't even refer to the Constitution when they make decisions. So let me ask Daniel this in kind of lieu of what you were just getting at, Chris. We're seeing now with all these states in debt, I mean, Cuomo said New York, yeah, we have $0. We're totally broke. We need 100% federal funding or we have nothing. You know, what is your mindset when you look at these scenarios and you see Mitch McConnell saying, let him go bankrupt?
You know, Donald Trump said it a couple different times that he doesn't want to have the solution be worse than the problem. You know, I'm a small business owner. You know, I understand, you know, how small businesses work and how they operate and how much cash flow they are going to need. You know, and it's true. We can't let the solution be worse than the problem. You know, Georgia's unique. Georgia actually has a surplus. You know, we're one of the few states that, you know, actually, you know, has a, you know, couple pennies in the piggy bank to kind of deal with situations like this. You don't see that in Democrat run states like New York. And, you know, I don't expect the federal government to bail out everybody. That's not their job.
Well, and I think, too, like you said, I mean, it's the worst states. It's Illinois. It's California. It's New York. They've been bankrupt. Illinois hasn't been able to afford paying pensions forever. They just keep dipping into the purse of the federal government. And so, you know, it is small business mindset, I think, too, Daniel. We got 30 seconds left with you here, that we need in there, not just this unlimited spending, quantitative easing, just break the bank every time.
Now, small business is the engine that runs the United States economy, and we need the government to get out of the way. That's pretty much it. You know, let small businesses operate. Let them keep as much of their own money. They know how to spend it better than Uncle Sam, and just watch us grow. And you know, that's what I'm going to be able to do when I get to Washington, D.C.
Daniel Merritt, there he is, ladies and gentlemen, in Georgia. If you're in Georgia, when you go to the polls, look for that name and punch that ticket so we can get this great veteran in office. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us today on the InfoWars War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, 10 soldiers can stop the last segment here of the first hour. Time to open up the phone lines for the veterans to call in today. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Lines are open for veterans to call in now. Just ask that you let us know what branch you were in or are in so we can give it a shout out before we bring you on air. Of course, Chris Nyewaim still with us. We'll be with us for the remainder of the show. I'm about to let you know my prediction coming up here. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, InfoWarsStore.com is how all of this is possible. Now, today I did lay off the coffee. I've been drinking a lot of coffee lately. It tends to, let's say get me fired up. Today, though, I'm drinking the Turbo Force, which does get me fired up, but it's a more sustained focus fire, and I plan on exercising later after the broadcast. So I like to drink the Turbo Force at 3 o'clock because then I have hours and hours of energy to exercise after the show, blow off some of that steam. 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Turbo Force, 40% off. Don't forget, if you haven't gotten emergency food supplies yet, we have them available at InfoWarsStore.com. All the other guys are out. We're still in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. Lines are open for veterans, 877-789-2539. Here's my prediction. Now, I'm looking for an outlet last night to get my mind off of all the tyranny that we're fighting and facing. And so I'm flipping through cable, and I saw that the NFL draft was on. Now, normally this is something I would have known or followed. I had no idea, but apparently NFL draft last night, and it didn't take but 20 seconds. In fact, it was immediate. Coronavirus propaganda rolling around the clock. A bottom line, donate to help coronavirus. Here's how much the NFL has given. Here's how much this guy's given. This guy's given. And then the commercials, the 4-minute long commercials, the 30 second commercials, the nurses and doctors are so overwhelmed. They're crying commercials, all this stuff. Just round the clock propaganda. And so zooming out, after seeing that, after zooming in on that microcosm of culture in the world, and then zooming back out, I realized a couple things. I realized one, and I'm not going to discuss here today, but I realized what we're really in store for the next 5 months, and then the next 5 years after that. It came clear to me. But here's what I think I see in the short term. I think the first sports league to open. Now, I hope this isn't the case. I think this was the plan, but I hope that they have to call an audible on this deal because there's so much backlash in America right now. But I think that the plan was to have the first league open be the NFL. Preseason usually starts, I believe, the end of August, beginning of September. But here's the catch. So the NFL would open their gates first. And they'd say, but you can only get in if you have your vaccine papers. Now, I believe that was the plan. Using the NFL to do that is obviously the way to go. Now, we'll see. Trump has said the sports industry is going to be a major part of this reopening. And it will be for a couple reasons, whether we like it or not. These are mass gatherings. They take place every night. People love them. It's going to be a part of our culture in the future. So, as you look at the St. Louis Blues fans. So the NHL season was midseason postponed. The NBA season was midseason postponed. The baseball season was about to start postponed. The NFL season doesn't start till later. So they could just end up canceling all those and then say, NFL is going to open up. You can go watch sports again, but you need to have your vaccine documents, your health documents to get into the game. Now, I think this is inevitable no matter what they do, unless they have to call an audible and there's enough backlash. But, you know, we covered Novak Djokovic saying he won't take a vaccine. I don't think every player is going to take the vaccine. I don't think attendance is going to be where they want it to be because people aren't going to take the vaccine or it's going to be impossible to get a vaccine. But whether or not it ends up being with sports or the NFL, it really doesn't matter because that's their plan anyway. They're telling you, you can't go out without a vaccine. You can't go to the restaurant without a vaccine. You can't go to the gym without a vaccine. Well, you can take that vaccine and polish it nice and good and then, you know, stick it straight up your candy ass because I'm not taking it. But let's ask Chris Nyweem what he thinks about that as we aggregate your calls. They're projecting, Chris, with Bill Gates, that we can't reopen. We can't go to restaurants or bars or gyms or sporting events until we all get vaccinated. I don't remember that being in the Constitution to give me my freedoms, but it seems that that's what they're pushing for.
Now, Owen, according to my notepad here, Bill Gates' name has been changed to Goblin Chicken Neck. So you confused me there by using his regular name.
I'm sorry, Chicken Neck Goblin.
Chicken Neck Goblin. I just want to make sure I had that right.
Yes, the Chicken Neck Goblin wants you to take his vaccine.
Look, I think that these basic things like social distancing and these other things that people – or just cleanliness is something a lot of people already practice and should. But I do have concerns about this expansion into people's lives and freedoms. I mean, it's literally like a science fiction movie. Like most heavy metal songs. I mean, like, they're, you know, world governments are real. They want to restrict people's freedom. And it's kind of ironic when you're fighting for freedom and then you have these sort of restrictions that, that are coming in. So I think I share all the same concerns that, that many people do. You know, it's just that simple. And I do think you touched on it earlier in the show. The media is – it's gotten to a point of viciousness that it's – we've almost become desensitized. That all they really want to do is wait till the question's part of the briefing and try to badger the president about whether he's making money on his businesses or whether he's getting some special treatment and trying to say, you know, he basically said, wouldn't it be great? And he talks very conversationally, sort of, wouldn't it be great if we could put, you know, desanitize someone's body? That'd be great. He never said.
Which, by the way, yeah, exactly. But again, in 1918, they literally had hospital tents where they would put you outside in the sun every day to fight the plague. Like, this is well-known stuff, and he's just like, look, you're so stupid, I have to talk to you like a kindergarten person, and then you still don't get it, you moron Jim Acosta. But hasn't that what it's – that's what it's really turned into, though, Chris. I mean, we can talk about the facts and figures, and we can, you know, really speculate what the coronavirus was, and I think we have those answers, but they've turned it into this Get Trump campaign. They've turned it into an anti-Trump campaign. This is cannot even be debated. I mean, I'm seeing stories every day. Trump's to blame for coronavirus. Democrats think Trump to blame, not China. And it's like, what? I mean, how can you possibly live in such delusion or such hatred that you really think no matter what, even though it literally comes out of China, they literally got caught lying about it. They literally shipped us infected masks and tests. And then these people still say, oh, no, it's Trump's fault.
It's what they do. I mean, their ending objective is not actually advancing an articulate position or rational. It's really just vicious, and it's really short-sighted. I mean, the sort of the colloquial is the Trump derangement syndrome. I did another Nancy Pelosi nose.
Yeah, stop touching your face. That's illegal on The War Room is Raw.
In the face.
Actually, we encourage facial touching. In fact, touch your face everywhere.
Well, I just got this beard going again. I can't compete with your beard game right now, but now I'm going to start doing that because with all the free time. But you know, it's another thing is one of my friends who's a veteran and he's a patriot and he's going to be Skyping in later in the show from Illinois, Clint. We were just having this discussion yesterday on Facebook. You know, it's kind of ironic. I'll debate people out in different areas, you know, on TV. But then also I still have my Facebook debates and we have a pretty, you know, similar network of folks we know from the Chicagoland area. We went to high school together. You know, the other day there was just a lot of Trump hating going on. I've been kind of ignoring it lately because I'm either going to like just incinerate someone or just let it go. And he body checked a couple people that were just doing obnoxious, stupid, you know, not even like your far left Democrat you want to blow up, just sort of like the cafeteria liberal, you know, that just wants to post, you know, Trump and a jellyfish both have something in common. Their mouth is their butt. Just stupid stuff. And he checked it, which is why I love to get you to talk to him a little bit later here in the show. We've got to call these people out. I mean, we've got to call these people out. And if you use facts and you use the reality of what's in front of us, that they tend to dissipate. But it is ironic that people are – they can't make up their mind. And remember, the China ban stuff, I mean, that was racist and xenophobic. And then now it's you didn't act fast enough. These people are phonies. They're frauds. And you just got to look at Nancy Pelosi's house, walls, guns. But most liberals, they've unplugged the practical facts from their argument. And that's why it usually doesn't work out too well for them, as you well know.
No, everything on the left side of the aisle is about getting Trump. And anybody who doesn't want to buy into that is leaving the left. They're leaving the Democrat Party. It's a revolution happening. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi really is the epitome of fraud. You can't have a gun. She's protected by guns. You can't build a wall. She's protected by a wall. You can't sniff a cow fart. She has a whole refrigerator full of cow farts. She touches her nose, tells you not to touch her nose. I mean, it's like, but she can't even go away. She's so corrupt, she just won't go away.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, we've got callers lined up. We're going to start going to your calls, I promise, as soon as we come back from this next break. I do have some interesting news that I could just kind of plug and play here before we start taking your calls with Chris Nyweim. But when I look at what the Democrats are doing politically right now, I'm sickened and I'm horrified. Let's take a look at this. One, from CNN, House Democrat says she plans to probe the dismissal of director of key vaccine agency. And of course, you also have the Democrats adding in now their ninth coronavirus committee. This is a subcommittee now to monitor and review and investigate the president and his response to this. Of course, that's not what it really is. It's really just a subcommittee to try to get the president and bring him down. Just more subversion, more attempt of overthrowing government. So the Democrats are engaged in total subversion, total commitment to overthrow the government, total sedition, I would even say treason, but it goes on. Ilhan Omar, U.S. must cancel rent, mortgages, provide universal monthly payments to all Americans. I mean, this pirate trash from Somalia washes up on our shores and we spoil her rotten so she can run around to marry her daughter, or marry her brother, excuse me, enrich herself and then engage in felonious activities, sleeping around. And then she tells us that we have to give up all of our freedoms and become a socialist country. By the way, AOC is doing the exact same thing right now. I really think that we should ship all these people to China. You know, they love China so much and China's response to this. Why don't you go to China and you'll be put, let me tell you something. Ilhan Omar will be put in a slave shop in China within hours of stepping foot on the ground. Okay. So, but keep trying to railroad America into the ground. You stop before I get mad. And then Nancy Pelosi pushes vote by mail. Every person registered to vote should receive a ballot. Folks, you know why they're doing this, because there's millions of voters on the rolls that never vote. And the Democrats have this record. And so they're all going to vote in 2020 and they're all going to vote Democrat. And if you nationwide have a gap of 5 million, they believe they can fill that gap with 5 million illegal votes. And that's not illegal alien votes, which they engage in as well. This is straight up people that they vote for because they know they're inactive on the voter rolls. Chris Nyweim, how do you analyze the recent movements the Democrats are making politically?
I think that in the age of President Trump, they've just constantly been on such defense, they don't know what to do. So they've thrown flagrant blows out there. And actually, I don't think I've talked to you since Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race. You know, I feel like,
which was just like a nothing. It was like a fart in the wind.
Is it just me? I was going to say,
you know, Bernie Sanders dropping out was like a fart in a hurricane. Like, you didn't even hear it. Nobody smelt it or even noticed it. It's just like, pff, he gone.
I feel like Bernie Sanders always goes down faster than a pint of Guinness in an Irish pub. It's just interesting how I'm still waiting for that revolution. I've never figured that out. We've got a revolution. We've got so much enthusiasm. We can't win primary. I do love that. And I wrote a Daily Caller piece about Sanders' terrible record on the VA because he was a chairman. And so I'd like to secretly just take a little bit of credit for his downfall. I mean, it was like,
well, I'll give you all the credit right now. Would you like it?
The Daily Caller. It's online somewhere. I don't know if the team sees it, but
no. Chris Nyweim is single-handedly responsible for stopping Bernie Sanders from becoming president. Thank you, sir.
I did a great job, Owen. Let me just tell you, he was very sad. He went down very fast. Some people are saying he went down. There's the article right there. You know what? It came out. He went down very fast, and we hit him very strongly. And I think he's going to stay out of the count for a long time. Bernie, he needs a nap. I'm recommending maybe Xanax, but we'll see what happens. I don't want to say Xanax, or they'll say, Trump said Xanax. Oh, it's horrible.
Xanax is known to kill people, but get it anyway because they're our sponsor. Gentlemen, Saturday. You can't close America rally. 2-2-2. Bid, large, extreme, explosions. Hyper, Uber. fast-paced, hard-hitting, electrifying. This Saturday in Austin, Texas, be there or be a traitor to America. We are hosting the You Can't Close America Rally 2. I will be there. Alex Jones will be there. We hope to see you tomorrow at the Texas State Capitol in downtown Austin, Texas, noon to 2. Noon to 2 tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Of course, nation's happening. Rally's happening, excuse me, nationwide. California, Oregon, Alabama, Ohio, Wisconsin. They're happening today. In fact, there's a Wisconsin rally happening right now. As we're on air, they're filling the streets of Wisconsin by the thousands. I'm hoping here in Austin, it'll be by the millions. There's Nyweem sleeping on the job. Can't even finish my promo. It's fine. We gave you a shot. We gave you a shot, Chris. No. I'll have to just complete my own promo next time. Seriously, though, tomorrow we'll see you. Saturday, Austin, Texas State Capitol Building. All right, let's go out to the phone lines now, and we'll start it off with Thad, Navy veteran, calling in from Utah. Go ahead, Thad.
Well, finally, Thad has returned to the war room, Owen, and he has a little bit to talk about.
Yes! Can you guys that's how you do a promo.
Yeah, brother. So tomorrow, Saturday, 1 o'clock, we're going to go ahead and, we're going to be out here at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in Seattle. And we're going to be, stirring it up over here, man. I mean, since we're in overdrive with this, patent 060606, I'm going to go ahead and give them a little, 361 action. You know what I'm saying?
Woo! High flying.
Yeah, buddy. Good to see you on the show last night at Agenda 1776, brother. Also, I wanted to run by you, man. I was looking at what they're saying on the news right now, and it's save the world from COVID-19 or white male privilege. Oxford professor's tough vaccine choice shows warped priorities of today's SJW. Yeah, man. I mean, that's where we're at, man. We're with this genetically engineered vaccine, and these are the discussions that we're having instead of turning America back on, man.
Let me respond to that real quick. Because it's like this thing, it's like the biggest story ever. And it's like, I know what's going on. And it's just like, I don't even say it because it's just so overblown. But folks, here's the deal. This is pretty much the final story here with the coronavirus. Made in a lab in Wuhan. You can debate bioweapon or just bioresearch for a vaccine. Either way, escapes from the lab, wittingly, unwittingly. Obviously, outbreaks in Wuhan. China knows it happens. That's why you saw the response in China. That's why they stopped travel domestically, but not internationally. I mean, that's a crime, in my view. And so, but it's about, I would say it'll probably be about 4 times to 10 times as contagious as the normal flu. And it'll be about 3 times as deadly when you're infected with pre-existing conditions. That's pretty much what we know. So it's worse than the flu, but it's still nowhere near as deadly or as serious as people were making it out to be. There's other kind of maybe some side effects down the road we'll have to look at. And there has been a major cover-up with the 5G involvement. But those are, you know, other stories we're looking at. But so now that we know all this, it's like it doesn't matter. I have to hear from, it's funny you brought this up because I was going to play this on the show and I'm going to get too mad. But Fauci literally goes on the podium and says, well, I'm doing my best in working with our task force to make sure that the underprivileged and minority groups out there are getting proper treatment. And I'm just sitting here like, you know, this is everything about race to these people. You realize a virus doesn't see race. I mean, if you want to admit it was man-made, then maybe it could be designed to attack a certain race, but they won't go down that road. It's just, oh, we're going to take more of your freedoms and make you feel bad because I said minority.
But we're seeing, In England, the public health is appointing a man named Trevor Phillips to lead a probe into why more people from certain ethnic minorities are dying of this disease, apparently. That kind of further elaborates my theory on it being created with CRISPR-Cas9 technology. Because you know what? We had a sit-down with the guys that brought a certain study to the certain facility I worked at in Everett, Washington, when we were working on a multiple myeloma study. With CRISPR-Cas9 technology. And one of the main questions that was presented to this guy was, can this be used as a race bomb? And that kind of goes with them using PCR to test also, because all that test is genetic makeup. it is contraindicated in the use of testing for infectious diseases. So, I mean, hey, whatever it is, brother, it ain't naturally occurring.
No, exactly.
No, not at all.
And, you know, and that's kind of the final conclusion, too, here, Thad. And I just want to get one more comment from you before we let you go, and then we're going to hear from Chris. Folks, you need to understand something here. I mean, I'm just going to give it to you black and white. You already know all this, but you need to hear it to accept it. Folks, they made a virus in a lab, and they have now penetrated millions of humans' bodies, okay? They've literally penetrated your body with a man-made virus, nano warfare. Okay, these people need to be tried in court. I mean, heads need to roll for this crime against humanity they've unleashed on the world. Now, Thad, where can people join you in protesting Bill Gates' mandatory vaccines?
I need everybody to jump on there with follow Maga Titan on Facebook. He puts all our stuff up, you know, Titans of Liberty. I'm going to be streaming it through Titans of Liberty. You can also follow Brad Chadford, who I know you know, brother. I know you know him very well. But, you can follow Brad Chadford. He's got a show called Cut the Shit. You can find us there a lot. We're going to go ahead.
We got to dump that. No cursing, but go ahead.
Sorry about that, brother. But we're going to go ahead and try and stream it as many places as we can to get this out there, man. Because if there was ever a time to stand in front of Bill Gates' place of business, it's now, man. We need to let him know that we're not going to be an experiment, you know, for them to toy with. You know, this guy says with a smile on his face that this could maim over 700,000 people. We're not playing around anymore. They need to know that we're not going to have this.
Yeah, and he says that, too, while telling you he needs legal exemption in court. Thad, so great to have Thad once again back on the InfoWars War Room. Chris, your response to Thad's call?
Well, I mean, I agree. I agree 100%. I miss Utah, by the way. That's a freaking beautiful state. Look, it's we have to question what these people are saying, and also just a little subliminal messaging from people that give statements. You can kind of tell where people have their, you know, where their political allegiance lie and things like that. And we know there's a lot of far left people that have been in the administration held over in certain roles. You don't know where they are, but for the most part, I think that the federal response has gone in phases. We've got phased openings, and if anything, this is such an interesting time for federalism. I mean, literally, this is what it's all about. This is states, the federal government, and in the end, I think this is one thing where what's the last line of defense against this stuff? The American family, your actual family, your individual freedom, your individual situation. Like, this is where you can't always trust the government to protect you and to do the right thing, because we know oftentimes government can screw up a one-car parade and have. So I agree with those perspectives from Thad from Utah.
And, you know, the other thing about it, too, is, and I always say this just to kind of check myself, because, I mean, look, folks, I mean, I don't deny it. I mean, I live in essentially a media bubble. It comes with the territory of what I do. So I have to check myself and I say, okay, if I wasn't watching TV, if I wasn't following the news, what would this story be? What would the story be to me? What would the story be just in the real world going about? And I think that the story would be, wow, in 2020, in February and March and April, the United States caught a really bad flu bug. Boy, it was really bad. And, killed some people. People got sick, but hey, you know what? It moved on and we got over it. And that's pretty much been the story, really. It's just, if you didn't watch television, you wouldn't know that there's a massive breakout of this thing.
If I could interject one last time.
Yeah, we got 30 seconds, Thad.
Yeah, let me just go ahead and put it out there. This has been criminally negligent on behalf of the CDC and the World Health Organization. They've done this on purpose. They've allowed this to infect millions and millions of people and hundreds of thousands.
I would only disagree with you in the sense of it's not negligence, because like you said, they knew it. They knew it. This was offensive by them.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
We are going back out to the phone lines. And I was just talking in the break. It's, you know, it's funny, but it's true. And it's also not funny, though. But there was a joke going around, a meme going around. Oh, now that Trump says that the sun will fight coronavirus, the Democrats will fight to block the sun. And it's like, wait a second. You realize they've been doing that. And I was sharing the CNN story that says, it's time to blot out the sun to fight global warming. So, yeah, folks, Democrats literally want you to die. Because they don't even want you to have the sun. I mean, how much more ridiculous? Seriously, the next move for the Democrats is stop breathing oxygen. You can only take one breath a minute to live. You're just like, jeez, boy, these people, they know no limits to their tyranny. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines on the Veterans Call-In Show. And let's go to Danny, an Army veteran from Ohio. Go ahead, Danny.
How's it going, Owen? First-time caller.
Glad to have you on. Still there, Danny? That's a shame. We lost Danny. If he wants to call back, we can hear from Danny again. Let's go to Sarge, a Marine from Alabama. Go ahead, Sarge.
Hey, Owen. Good to hear from you guys, man. I love your show. Longtime listener and supporter. And I just want to say hello to my veteran buddies that are on the Chris, and I'll be praying for your father. And sorry to hear about your grandmother, buddy.
What's on your mind today, Sarge?
Well, you know, years ago, I think it's been probably 7 years ago, Alex came out with that plan for the UN to come in with different countries and take over and take all of our guns away from us and whatnot. Shouldn't our states right now be having some bills passed that says no UN can come in by land, sea, air, or up through the ground to keep them out of our states if this is supposed to be the end game?
You know, here's the obstacle we face intellectually. There's this whole notion, and folks, I have to weigh this when I report things. There's this whole notion that if InfoWars reports it, it's fake. It's a conspiracy theory. And so people just shy away. It doesn't matter if we're like, hey, Mike Tyson is walking up to your front door. He's going to sock you right in the face. And then you're like, who reported that? InfoWars said that? Yeah. And so you're sitting on your front porch rocking, and here comes Mike, Iron Mike, charged up. You're like, look at Mike Tyson walking right towards me with his fist balled up. Yeah, right. Yeah. And then he just walks up and it's just like, and you get hit right in the face. And it's like, okay, you just got hit by Mike Tyson. Is it still a conspiracy theory? So that's it, Sergeant. Oh, I don't want to be a conspiracy. Oh, the UN, you coming in? Yeah, sure. No, this is real stuff, man. And so it's a weird intellectual hurdle. And that's why I had that that veteran on earlier. We got another veteran coming on who are running for office. We need to get people in office who aren't afraid of this whole conspiracy theory, attachment that they put on you.
It really doesn't matter. You're talking to the veterans now because it's the veterans show and we got the power. And if the veterans all across the United States, Hawaii and up in Alaska, get together and say, hey, you know what? I think that's a good idea. We ought to just start that meme. I've already started it on Facebook here. And some people are coming around saying, you know what? I remember that too. Richie from Boston did that too, man, after Alex did it. Yeah, I remember that. And Crow, the Crow House over in Australia, he did it. Oh, I remember that. Well, yeah, and back up because this is where we are.
And that's the other thing too, is you can go and see the UN folks. They have what is essentially a forward operating base in Massachusetts, all over these places. They use Kellogg's cereal shipping stations to plant their MRAPs and all this stuff. There were stories a while ago about Chinese UN troops moving into California. And so, but that's the thing. I mean, it's like, even when the facts are right in front of you, people still deny it. Like this whole Microsoft patent, 060606, they still say that's a conspiracy theory. I can print out the document in 500 different fonts for you. I mean, it's like, pick whatever font you want. Here's the damn document. But, you know, Sarge, how many veterans are there in America? Like 60 million? I mean, the power of the veterans is really untapped to me.
Got that right, brother. We're not doing what we should be doing. And we should pretty much be blamers. I'm 60 now, and I'm in very good health. I don't have to take any medications. I pray, take my vitamins and the InfoWars products that I really believe work for me. And I take six of them. So and I'm pretty good health. And you know what? I believe that what's being given here is information should be used in the right way. And it's unfortunate that Alex isn't a veteran. I don't know if it would give him any more credence than he has now. But I got to tell you, he's warring right now. And I like it, and I stand behind him, and I'll stand with him shoulder to shoulder. And I appreciate what you guys do, Owen. And I appreciate you. Get excited. Get me excited. That's what I need.
No, I know. And, you know, and I made this analogy earlier, Sarge, and I don't know if you were tuned in or not. And look, here's the deal, folks. The entire country is ready to move up to the next level, but we're being anchored down right now. And some people are already starting to climb the rungs, and they're begging other people to get there, but we're just not quite there yet. And so, like, I can sit here and tell you what I think, and I've been doing it, and I've been a little brash lately, and that's why I think I just need to step away for a minute until people are starting ready to hear this. But I mean, look, Sarge knows it, the audience knows it, everybody knows it, folks. If we had to do what we had to do, it would take 3 days max, and this whole thing would be over, and you know, we would really reclaim this country. We don't want to do it that way. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like the manifest right now. But like I said, I mean, should it come to that, I'm not worried about it. I'm really not. I don't want that, but I'm not worried about it. I mean, Chris, you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, with the veterans, with patriots, with the Trump movement, I mean, Americans see the corruption. You know, they're just still kind of, you know, not in war mode yet.
And there's a lot of veterans, but it's still a small population. It's about 22 million, I think about 9 million. The boring stats on this are about 9 million are enrolled in the VA, about 4 million regularly go see doctors. But there's 22 million of us across all generations. So World War II, we're losing, unfortunately, there as they you know, age. And Vietnam is aging as well. But 22 million veterans, I think over 2 million Iraq and Afghanistan. But it's a minority. So it's like, I mean, that's why I think, you know, we got Joe Collins coming up on tap, secured the GOP nomination out there in California, L.A. area, running against Maxine Waters. You know, we need more veterans in Congress. That's why I think Danny and Joe, I mean, these guys running in government. I mean, we got to get veterans in government. It's just that simple. And you know, regardless of their political persuasion, I think anyone that's a veteran deserves a lot of respect, except for those really, really communist veterans. There's always those that are just literally like, it makes no sense to me to have freedom and then try to get it taken away or try to lobby against it.
Well, and I think, you know, and this isn't to attack those individuals per se. Sarge, thank you so much for the call. I think that what you've had is a phenomenon where people sign up to get into the military for a lot of different reasons now. Most of it not being to fight or even, you know, for a reason out of patriotic things. It could be for college scholarship, for a job, for a resume thing. I mean, there's all kinds of things. So you're going to have all kinds of political bents. You know, when you kind of have different motivations of getting into the military. But, you know, you look at the veterans on the Democrat side, they do seem to be the most centrist. You know, you look at a Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, Buttigieg is kind of an interesting phenomenon, and there seems to be some weird stuff in his history. But, I mean, even he was kind of considered a centrist amongst the Democrat field. We'll be right back with our next great guest. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Warning, this broadcast might offend
the easily offended.
It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard Alex Jones earlier on the show today. Big announcement coming next segment. The full exclusive message from Alex Jones premiering right here for you on the InfoWars War Room is raw. And so let me just tell you, folks, you've known about the censorship, but there was something else behind it, folks. It was actually a means of business. And so all these people banned us because somebody wanted us exclusively because, well, we're number one right now in political coverage. And so somebody wanted the exclusive on us. So everybody banned us so they could then fight for the exclusive. Now, I've been knowing about these back deals happening and offers, and I told Alex, I think we should go for that Google money. And he said, look, Facebook made us an offer. And so you're going to hear all about this. I'm not kidding, folks. exclusively coming up right here in the War Room in the next segment. So stick around for that. You're not going to believe what Alex Jones is about to announce. Now, we have our next great veteran guest joining us who is running against Maxine Waters now. It's official in California. Joe Collins, another great veteran with us. Joe Collins for Congress in California, 43rd District against Maxine Waters, the worst gutter rat that St. Louis has ever produced. I'm proud of St. Louis, but that gutter rat somehow come out of St. Louis is making us all look bad. So Joe, wow, running against one of the biggest swamp creatures that exists, a lady who helps enrich her husband with taxpayer dollars and bailouts, a woman who's under investigation for her ethics while in Congress. She's been in office for decades. What has she done for the people? Nothing, but she certainly knows how to enrich herself. So, Joe Collins, tell us about yourself, your campaign, and you know, what motivated you to run for office?
Well, I'm a U.S. Navy veteran, 13 and a half years. I'm a South Central Los Angeles native. I was born and raised right here in South L.A. with Maxine Waters as a representative from when I was a child, actually. What motivated me to run is joining the military, leaving, and coming back and seeing our district in the same shape that it was in when I was left. When I left, it's pretty despicable, and so you have to look at who are the leaders in the district around this time, and she has been there the longest. So when you talk about economic development, economic opportunities, when you talk about quality jobs and education and the lack thereof in our community, who is the problem? It has to be Maxine Waters, and she shows it and proves it every single day.
How do you get ready for a campaign against a woman who's so entrenched when you know it's going to be an uphill battle and seemingly against all odds? Because how does this woman stay in office even though everything in her district since she's gotten in office has gotten worse? Everything, more debt, more poverty, more disease. I mean, literally everything. And you'd think that you could just run on her record. You'd think, hey, I can just run on Maxine's record as a total failed politician. So, but that's not the case. So what do you do to prepare? How do you make sure that the public knows that it's Maxine Waters who's been in charge and it's time for a change?
Well, the only reason Maxine Waters has been able to stay in a district for so long is because they redistrict every time, you know, her district fails or you see poverty happen in the area, they redistrict. Now she's redistricting to an area where people really don't like her, and now she has a candidate where I am Black, I am young, and I'm offering something new, something more innovative. Our goal is to reach out to the people who have never voted before or who feel disenfranchised, get them encouraged to vote, get them out. And so that means we have to be visible in our community. We have to constantly provide opportunities and show people in our district that what we are seeing and what they have been experiencing is not normal.
Maxine Waters, like a big mouth bass that won't let go of the bait on the hook, has been constantly nagging the president, constantly heckling the president, heckling America, making the president's job impossible, seemingly, with everything she can do and her leverage. What would your approach as a congressman be? How would you support President Trump versus what you've seen from Maxine Waters?
Well, I'll tell you this. Unlike Maxine Waters, I wouldn't be a hypocrite and throw rocks when I live in a glass house myself. I think the position that we need to take, especially as young conservatives or even young Democrats or independents trying to get into office, the position that we need to take is we need to take our party differences and put them aside and start to utilize the policies that are productive to bring value and opportunity back to our district. That's exactly what I plan on doing, and that's what I've been doing since I've been campaigning.
Joe, I want to get your opinion on a phenomenon happening inside the Democrat Party right now. You've seen Candace Owens with Blexit. That's been a phenomenon for some years. But now you're seeing Vernon Jones, a Democrat congressman from Georgia, leaving the party and on his way out dealing with hatred and bigotry from the Democrats. The same thing with the Detroit lady. I forget her name. It's not Whitmer, like the governor, but it's like Witzmer or Witzer or something like that. It's very close. Witset. Thank you. These are both Black Democrats that have simply said, hey, look, you know, President Trump is helping the Black community. And so if I'm going to sit here and claim I'm fighting for the Black community, then how can I not at least be honest about what President Trump has done? And so now all of a sudden they're getting heckled. They're getting shamed. They're asking to be kicked out of the party. They censured the lady from Detroit. I mean, how do you see this? I mean, when you see this happening, the party that claims to fight for Black Americans now fighting Black Americans who fight for America. I mean, how do you measure that? How do you analyze that?
Well, I look at it like this: the Democratic Party is a disaster. They're a total mess right now. And when you talk about a party who has fought for Black people, that's not the Democratic Party. Everyone knows that the Republican Party was started to free slaves at the Anti-Slavery and Freedom Party. Now, this whole new wave of Democrats that are getting into office, the AOCs and her this ridiculous rhetoric, you have the squad, Ilhan Omar, people who have no American values. They're kind of making it hard to be a Democrat right now. And yes, the president has been doing a lot for our community. You talk about criminal justice reform, opportunity zones for Step Back, making it easy for Black people and brown people to start businesses. He's done a tremendous job, but because we have a Democratic Party that hates him so much, they hate us more than anything in the whole entire world. And it makes it easy for someone to be able to cross over to the Republican side. I agree with the president, especially with this racist rhetoric that they push, or just the pure lack of leadership, the pure lack of doing something for our community. I mean, Elijah Cummings, $17 billion disappeared. Maxine Waters, 30 years in office. Our district is a mess. I'm out here donating my own money for my campaign to help people during this COVID-19 virus. We've been protesting to open back up the government. I mean, the Democrats right now are a mess, and it's a shame. I wouldn't want to be a part of the Democratic Party then, and I definitely don't want to be a part of it now.
And they're definitely trying to hide the fact that Americans have been now informed without beyond reasonable doubt what the Democrats really are, and that's not your friend. So the website for people to follow your campaign, Joe, where can they follow?
My website is joecollinsforcongress.com. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram at collinsforcongress43 and on Twitter, joecollins43rd.
All right, Joe. Well, thank you so much for your service in the Navy, and I hope that you can continue to serve this country, except now in a congressional fashion, and to get that swamp creature, Maxine Waters, out of there.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. So there you go, folks. There's the website. And if you are out there in California, in the San Francisco area, Joe Collins is your guy. He's your guy, folks. He's our guy. He's America's guy. Chris, you've done it again. Another great veteran running for office. So, you know, you're doing a good job right now, Chris, getting veterans active and keeping them involved.
Yeah, Joe is great. I think that he's got a chance, too. I mean, everyone that ends up winning, they have no chance until they win. I mean, we saw that with President Trump. We've seen that with Dan Crenshaw, frankly. It was great and what he was able to do in a runoff. And so I think it's about momentum right now and keeping it going. And we've got another great veteran later today, too, Clint York from Illinois, who I went to high school with, who's a veteran. He's conservative, and we've got some funny stories about a lot of the liberals online lately that have just been Trump hating with zero facts.
And yeah, people are just like, and I tell these people facts. They don't, folks, they're mentally ill. I'm sorry. But folks, the exclusive message from Alex Jones coming up next.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, I want to just let the whole Infowars family of listeners and viewers know something that's a pretty big announcement, and quite frankly, I'm proud of it. It's kind of a weird turn of events, but truth stranger than fiction. I have joined the Facebook team, and I want to apologize to Mark Zuckerberg and others for things I said and did that were wrong. Mark Zuckerberg is an incredible humanitarian and somebody that really is an example that all of us try to live up to. So when you can't beat them, join them. A few months ago, I contacted Mark and I apologized to him. And I said, how can I make it up all the bad things I've done? And he said, well, we don't really trust you yet, Alex, but why don't you send one of your crew members? We'll assess them and we can train them. And they'll come back and show you how InfoWars should be done to be a little more loving and more reasonable and not fake news. And so I have officially joined Snopes and Media Matters and others that help with the fact checking. And we're now being accredited. Now, I'm kind of a cadet right now. Darren McBreen has moved up to actually what they call consultant manager level. And so this is crazy. This is big news. if we all do a good job here, if you all do a good job too, you can all be part of Facebook and have a page on there if you do what they tell you to do. And so I finally submitted. I mean, I finally committed. And anyways, look, I want you to see the first new show. Darren McBreen, starting on Monday, will be hosting the show. They told me to take a break. I'm going to be sent to a wilderness camp to be reeducated. I mean, trained, rehabilitated, excuse me. But while I'm gone, Darren McBreen will be hosting the show. He's been trained. Trust the plan. Mark Zuckerberg, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I apologize, Bill Gates, too. Here is the first installment of the new InfoWars, hosted and sponsored by Facebook-approved host. And again, thank you, Mark Zuckerberg, for sponsoring us. Thank you, Mark. We love you, Mark.
Have you been exposed to misleading or false information about the coronavirus from conspiracy theorists? Well, Facebook is here to help.
In fact, beginning today, you'll never have to do your own research again. Facebook will provide it for you.
And we've got fact checkers working around the clock, ready to alert you if you've been exposed to the spread of wrong or misleading claims.
Here's how it works.
Recently, New York Post journalist and social scientist Stephen W. Mosher tried to post an ill-conceived conspiracy theory that claims the coronavirus might have been leaked from the lab in Wuhan. Well, our Facebook fact-checkers immediately sprung into action after receiving alerts from bots who recognized keywords and phrases already predetermined to be unsafe for users. The New York Post article was then flagged as inappropriate and replaced with a direct link to the World Health Organization. No longer will you be subjected to dangerous conspiracy theories like these.
An arrest warrant's been issued for a former Boston University researcher wanted by the FBI, accused of stealing U.S. research.
He signed a contract with Wuhan University of Technology in China for $50,000 a month.
There will be a surprise outbreak.
How did he know that there was going to be a pandemic?
So at best, Americans are funding people who are lying to us, and at worst, we're funding people who we knew had problems handling pathogens who then birthed a monster virus onto the world.
This is clearly an offensive biological warfare agent.
Meet Patient Zero. Dr. Danielle Anderson, one of our trusted fact checkers here at Facebook. Lately, she's been working overtime, debunking all those crazy posts claiming that the coronavirus came from the Wuhan biolab. Okay, look, I'll admit it might be a minor conflict of interest knowing that Dr. Anderson works at the exact same biolab suspected of leaking or releasing the virus. But hey, we're going to look past that, and we trust that you will do the same.
At Facebook, we're pleased to announce that we are not alone in this epic fight against the spread of coronavirus conspiracy theories. Other tech giants like Google, Microsoft, Twitter, and YouTube have also been instructed by China to promote conspiracy theory cures and get you all psychologically ready and prepared for the upcoming
mandatory vaccines. And of course, late night comedy is doing their part to keep you informed with a smile. And we're also getting lots of help from our liberal friends in Hollywood and the establishment Mockingbird news media.
So what do you do when this happens? A loved one, let's say it's your dad, drops into the family group chat with something he thinks is real. It's something about China manufacturing the coronavirus. Do you call him out saying how ridiculous you think this is?
What happens is that your dad doubles down on his view and he dismisses what you're saying.
So hold back on all that reactive talk. Maybe try something like this. Let's be careful. What you're sharing is inaccurate. Don't drown him in evidence. Maybe send an article from a legitimate source quoting credible scientists on why the virus wasn't manufactured. Conspiracies can be just as infectious, just as dangerous as a virus, so you have to guard against them.
Together, we can all make a difference and rid the world of free thought and critical thinking, while at the same time promoting globalism and the mark of the beast system. So fuck you, America. Facebook is your daddy.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, man, cool. I feel so much cooler now that I'm with Facebook and I'm making millions of bucks with Mark Zuckerberg. Oh, yeah, baby. Screw America. Screw the truth. I just want that Facebook cash. And yeah, baby. Now, the next move Facebook is going to make is once you get that, once you beg for that cool, trendy microchip that has all your health records on it. Oh, that's going to be intertwined with Facebook. Oh, yeah. And then I'll be able to monitor everything I do and I'll be able to post it on Facebook so that the world can know when I take a dump, I'm going to make sure that Facebook knows it. And my little microchip is going to let you know all the things that are in my feces. This is the future of the world, Chris. Are you on board with Facebook yet? Are you ready to submit your feces sample to Facebook and Bill Gates?
Well, I need to do a little bit more research, but has critical thinking been banished? Am I even going to be able to do that?
Critical thinking and Facebook, those two things don't go together, man. It's all about Facebook cash, some digital currency, man.
I mean, I'm going to have to be out at this point, you know?
Guys, I think we need to send someone over to Chris's hotel room and give him a little Facebook love.
I'm back at my actual apartment now, thank goodness. Now, the world, I guess I got to write Facebook on the back of the world.
Whoa. Did you just call that map behind you the world? Don't you know that's Facebook Incorporated now, brother? There's no planet Earth. It's called Facebook Inc. We got to get Chris up to speed, man.
We need a new Matrix movie, but with Mark Zuckerberg.
Actually, the Matrix is banned now. Too much free thinking there. Red pill, anything red pill is illegal on Facebook now. You need to get on board. You don't actually like freedom, do you? That's just an act.
I don't know.
Nobody actually likes freedom, right?
Well, we need to get a taste of the Facebook cash and one of those blue Facebook-like shirts that Alex had.
That's what it is. We just need to send old Chris a new, brand new royal blue Facebook shirt.
I need it. That's a mandatory part of the whole repro.
You got this shirt on. It says Roger Stone did nothing wrong. Pfft, that kind of content would be banned on Facebook. I don't even know if I can let you on this broadcast anymore now that I've sold out to Facebook.
Well, I can do a Roger Stone impression too. The hand gestures are key in the accent. But
Roger Stone's banned on Facebook, man. You're doing all the wrong things, brother. You need to say something nice. You need to say something nice really quick about vaccines and Bill Gates. Otherwise, we may have to send the Facebook police after you.
Well, you know what, Owen? We're not going to do that because we like freedom. We like our freedom very much, and we're not going to be doing what those people are doing, the direction they're headed. It's frankly very sad and disappointing, so we're not going to be doing that. We should be taking billions of dollars away from them if you want to know the truth.
All right, guys. Well, that will be the last we ever hear of Chris Nyweem because this is now the Facebook War Room, all right? You are now on the Facebook War Room where freedom doesn't even exist. And if it does, it's probably bigoted, so we're going to ban it. So you heard it here first, folks. InfoWars is now sold out to Facebooks, and we are more proud than ever. So when we get back, more NPR-style news, feeding you mis- and disinformation to keep you dumbed down, confused, and disoriented so that we can dominate you. But I don't give a damn because I'm making Facebooks now. And that's what it's all about, bitch. Something's coming over me. There's something happening.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Oh, you have a gift for me. What is this?
Your new attire. Put on your uniform.
What is that?
This is our new attire. Put on the uniform.
All right. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to take that shirt and hat, and I need you to put it in the washing machine, and I want you to hang it up to dry, and I want it nice and dry. And then I want you to spray it with a little Febreze so it has a nice scent. And I want you to take that T-shirt down, and I want you to twist it sideways and crumble it up into a ball, and I want you to shove it straight up your candy ass, because I'm never working for Facebook. I'm never working for those communist traitors to America. You got that? I will never take your Facebook money. Never. I will never wear your Facebook attire. You got that? This is America. We don't deal with those communist traitors over there at Facebook. No way. So I reject Facebook's money they tried to buy me out with. They can take that cash, they can put it in a rubber band, shine it up nice and clean so that it's corona-free, twist it sideways, and stick it straight up their candy ass. That's how I feel about that, Chris.
I'm glad you're back. Did you wash the red pill down with Pepsi or water or what? You found it. If I had to listen to that voice of the Facebook bucks, it's cool.
I was the face cuck. That was the face cuck.
I thought you were under mind control.
I chased my red pills down with Turbo Force from InfoWarsStore.com.
I was thinking, you know, not that we want Democrats to win an election, but I think if Bernie Sanders had hit InfoWarsStore.com, he may have had some chance, because he definitely needed a little shot of energy. He didn't get it. And yeah, it's like there was no buzz about him dropping out.
Right? It was just a nothing story.
It was like Bernie loses again.
But beyond loses, he cucks again. Like, he sucks knees again. He's on his knees sucking off Joe Biden's dingleberries.
You know what? He the whole Cardi B thing, too. I mean, it's just those comments. Bernie Sanders is a very boring guy. He's one of those guys, he tries so hard to be cool and funny, and he's still a clown. You know?
Yeah, it's like Cardi B tries so hard to, like, seem smart, and she's just a dumbass.
She is a very stupid human being. And honestly, I think that's what's so great about America. You can be an idiot and still be successful.
Well, filthy rich. And that was what I was going to say. I mean, look, Cardi B's low-hanging fruit. And part of me is just like, I mean, who knows what this Cardi B even knows? I mean, maybe her butt implants went straight to her brain or something. But it's like, Cardi B, like, she's so dumb, though. She doesn't even realize. It's like, listen, lady, you're filthy rich. You're probably in the top 1%, definitely 5. Bernie Sanders is going to tax you out the wazoo. All the fancy vacations. I don't know how you wipe your butt with your 6-inch nails, your fancy pumps, your fancy outfits, all that garbage. That's going to be gone. It's like, do you not even realize Bernie Sanders is going to take all your money?
They don't. If you look at the policies, I mean, again, it's one of those things. Like, I go back and forth to this, and if the team can find it, there's a Daily Caller article from, I think, 2015. I think it's National Veterans Advocate denied care at VA ER, whatever. I mean, I got locked out of an emergency room at the VA a few years ago. I had, like, a really weird, intense sickness. I didn't know what was going on. And I went to the emergency room, and I couldn't get in. The door was locked. The call button was broken. Turns out that the call button was broken, and then there were blah, blah, blah. The point is, that is the VA, man. There's no other choice. I ended up having to crawl next door to Stroger Hospital in Chicago, and it was just a nasty kind of thing. But, I mean, like, I was literally crawling across the street at 5 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't get in the VA. And Bernie Sanders will never know, because he'll never win.
What, well, he never planned to. He's just a political thief. But hey, I saw that headline. What does it say? Cardi B admits she used to drug and rob men. Oh my gosh! Hold on a second. That's so funny. I met Cardi B one night in Miami, and I woke up the next day with a headache, and my wallet was empty. I think I'm starting to figure out what happened now. Boy, that's odd. It's all coming back to you, folks. This is strange. Folks, the crew is already flexing their Facebook cash. This is ridiculous. They've literally already cashed their checks, and they're flaunting their Facebook cash right now. It's raining Facebook cash in the studio right now. Absolutely wild. Gotta get some of those Facebooks, baby. Hey, look, we've got lines open if veterans want to call in. We do have a couple veterans ready to go. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. We're taking calls on this Veterans Call-In Special. I mean, I got this news here, but it's just the same stuff. You know, Chris, it's just the same stuff. The Democrats hate America. They hate Trump. They want to destroy him. We've been lied to about coronavirus. Now that we know the facts, we're not getting a proper response. Media bias just on its face with so many different stories today. I mean, I can't even decide where to begin. And then there's the weirdness. Tom Hanks' blood will be used to develop coronavirus vaccine. What? Boy, so the Tom Hanks stuff that's been going on lately gets weirder and weirder. But tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, you had the rally today in Wisconsin. You've got the rallies across the nation happening right now. But we've got our rally tomorrow. You Can't Close America 2 rally in downtown Austin, Texas at the Texas State Capitol. I'll be there. Alex Jones will be there. We hope you'll be there. It's noon to 2 tomorrow, Saturday, April 25th at the Texas Capitol building in downtown Austin, Texas. So looking forward to seeing you out there tomorrow. You know, Chris, there was a story that I never saw reported, and we're going to go back to your calls here, but I just wanted to just kind of put this out there because I was stunned. Chris, have you ever heard of Corey Muhammad?
I have not.
Right. Neither had I, and I was shocked by this. Corey Muhammad was an individual who attempted a mass shooting in downtown Fresno, California. It was racially motivated. He was specifically targeting white people. And so this got next to no coverage, and there was not a single hate crime filed against him. Now, I look at this, and I'm not race carding or baiting here. I'm just saying, how can this be a blatant hate crime, if you believe in hate crimes or the legal notion of a hate crime, and a potential mass shooting that ended up not being so deadly, thank God, but it was racially motivated, but it was a black guy going for white people. Now, you tell me, if Corey Muhammad was a white guy targeting black people and ended up shooting and killing them, would you have known his name then?
It's a good question. I mean, for the longest time, we've seen that sort of media bias. I mean, avoiding these certain stories. And in some way, if you even look at sort of coronavirus in a way, I mean, look at heart disease, look at accident fatalities, look at all these things. I mean, the media seems to be obsessed about commercializing left-wing perspectives on certain issues, the gun control. And think about this for a second. If there's ever been a time to have a firearm, it is literally right now. I mean,
literally, do you have yours on you?
It's in my trunk, and I'm in Virginia right now, just across the river from D.C. But There's been crime here. There's been burglaries. There's been a murder. There's been stuff going on that's never happened before. And, you know, I understand, especially the victims' parents of, for example, school shootings. I completely understand their pain and desire to do stuff. And, you know, some of those are conservatives that think there should be more armed security. Others are activists and they're more Democrat. But literally, once that freedom is gone, it's not coming back. And for everybody out there that says you don't need a rifle to, you don't need a rifle to, or an AR-15 to hunt. Yeah, you know what? You might not, but you sure do need it to fight the U.S. government, because I guarantee you, even if you come back with the tank argument or the missile launcher argument, it doesn't matter. An assault rifle is a sufficient weapon to fight against the government should things get crazy. And I'm just saying, you know, everyone's like, oh, that's nuts. But literally in the COVID world, you can definitely see that pathway.
And that's obviously what it's all intent, folks. Governments always get too powerful and go sideways, and it's up to the people to put them back into place or become slaves. All right, let's take a phone call here from Brad Navy in Pennsylvania. Let's go to Brad here.
Hey, thanks, Owen. And enjoyed your conversation with Chris. Chris, how you doing? I'm from downstate Illinois originally, and appreciate all you're doing.
Southern Saturday. Illinois?
Yeah, brother, where are you from? Yeah,
from Mattoon.
How about nice. That?
I got family in Marion, Illinois.
Cardinal country, Owen.
Yo, I know. I'm very familiar with Central and Southern Illinois, for sure.
Let's bring back baseball, shall we? Let's get
you know, going. Look, I talked about this the other day, and it's just, folks, I don't expect the MLB or anybody to do this. The NHL, I think, is the only chance. Even though it would make more sense with baseball, you're getting outside in the sun. You're eating peanuts, drinking alcohol. Like, hell, if that's not going to beat a coronavirus, then I'm out.
Yeah, that just goes to show you none of it makes sense. And I you can look at this thing seven ways a Sunday, and none of it adds up. It just doesn't. I just wish President Trump would just come out on at the next news conference and say, Fauci and Bill Gates are behind this. End of story. Bring it out. I mean, they'd probably rush him and knock him off the stage. And
oh yeah,
him, but.
And you know, let's bear down on this for a second, Brad, because I have the same notion that you have, which is just like, you know, it's just a full offensive approach. Like, why isn't the president using this bully pulpit and all the attention right now to hammer the deep state, to hammer these criminals? Folks, they've now penetrated your body criminally with a man-made virus. I mean, you should be outraged. They're collapsing our economy right now. And the only thing I can think is the president realizes that he's got five more months of this, and there's going to be plenty more opportunities for him to strike. And as each one of these hoaxes and everything comes down the road, he gets more and more people to see who the criminals are, who the liars are. I mean, that's my only reasoning I can think why the president is playing patty cake with these people.
I wish that was the case. I don't know if he, I think he's afraid he's boxed in. And I'll, let me say something else. Bill Barr is not on our side. He is the worst attorney general in history. He could have stopped all this nonsense already because everything's unconstitutional. It's ridiculous, and he knows it. He just says a few words talking out the side of his mouth every so often to keep people thinking that he's working on something, or he may do something. He's not doing anything, and he never will.
You know what? Let's measure this, because the crew behind me said, what about Eric Holder? No, but let me reemphasize what Brad just said, and I think I can phrase it a little differently. I think, folks, if you look at everything that's happened in the last 4 years and where we're at, I really think that you can't disagree with Brad, because I think this is what it comes down to. If we continue down this road with all this criminality, bold, open-faced treason right in front of our face, taking away all of our freedoms, releasing man-made viruses, and all of this goes on and we don't have any arrests, we don't have any justice, we have nothing, then I actually think history will say, if you rationally look at it without the media and bias and everything, I think you can sit here and say, as an American, President Trump and Bill Barr will be the worst ever. Bill Barr would be the worst AG, and President Trump would be the worst president ever to allow all this criminality to crush America in his time in office. But I will say, but see, here's the caveat to that. They also have the opportunity in the next 5 months to be the greatest of all time. The president has so much opportunity to fix these issues while the public and the world is watching to be the greatest president in U.S. history. Bill Barr, the AG, watching all of this, seeing all of it, he has the opportunity to strike back and be the greatest attorney general in American history. Would you agree with that, Brad?
I would agree with that, Owen, and I hope Trump steps up and takes it. I'm afraid that he can't. He's too surrounded, and Barr is not going to do it, because he is, as Alex pointed out when he was first put in there, he goes back to the first Bush administration. He's deep state as it gets. He's part of the problem, along with all the the FBI, CIA. I mean, we're living in a bizarre world, man. You know it, Owen. You follow the media for a while, and you're on top of it. I mean, everything's upside down. I wouldn't even paint it as Democrats and Republicans. It's just, I don't know how you can say it. It's not reality anymore. They've got an inverted reality, and that's why Gates is jumping in here. Perfect time for them to drop the hammer on us.
And you know what? Excellent call there, Brad. And I'm just going to make a final point here before we come back with Chris Nyweim, our guest, and we'll get his response to this. You know, I see this story. Give them PPE. UK steps out for fifth weekly clap for key workers. You know, it's this whole thing about clapping for us and patting ourselves on the back. We're literally cheering on our own slavery right now. That's how much they've got us to buy into this, folks. That's how pathetic it is. Woo, look at our nurses. They're literally doing dance videos. I mean, this is embarrassing. What has happened to us?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
You You're listening to the InfoWars War Room, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. By the way, people in Georgia are reopening their businesses. People across the nation are getting ready to reopen their businesses. I think we're on a verge right now, folks. We have a big rally coming up in Texas tomorrow at the Capitol here, noon to 2. I hope you can make it. Alex Jones and myself will be there. But I just got sent this video, and Ben Shapiro's out cheering it on, that garden gnome, saying, oh, this is so great. Look at this Georgia. It's like a mani-pedi shop or something, whatever you call those places. Is it a spa, saloon? I don't know. Anyway, like, oh, here's all we're doing to reopen. We're all wearing masks. We're having a checkout thing outside. We're all wearing gloves. And Ben Shapiro was like, this is it. This is exactly what we need. No, it's not. It's the exact opposite of what we need. Folks, if you can't see how this whole glove mask phenomenon is the biggest clown world thing that we've ever seen yet, I don't know what to tell you. And again, I'm telling you the truth about the virus. Made in a lab, about 3 times as deadly as the flu, about 10 times as contagious. It was souped up in a lab in Wuhan. We know that now. But it's still not that deadly. You're still probably not going to get sick and die from it. It's about a 0.1% with the numbers we know now, and it just goes down more every day. And it really infects people and hurts people the most that have pre-existing conditions or are old or obese or something like that. Yeah, it's not good. But folks, wearing the mask now is not going to do anything. If we embrace this long term, it's game over. And then you're going to be sucking in carbon monoxide your whole life, making your life shorter. Gloves and all this crap, man, it is just fear-mongering. And this is the new world that I am afraid to death of, where you can't even leave your house without wearing gloves or masks because everyone's afraid of a virus that they most likely all already have and won't get sick with. So I just wanted to put that out. But let's go take some calls here. Let's go to Luke Air Force, Arkansas. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, Owen. Man, I just wanted to, kind of encourage people. I'm here in Arkansas, and Lowe's is absolutely packed. I'm in there for pretty much every other day. Bunch of other stores. We've been open for business. Unfortunately, we haven't had to close a whole lot. But I just want to encourage everybody, when we're there, man, let your light shine. I wear my Alex Jones, or you cannot censor me, that type of deal, all that stuff. I want to encourage all the veterans out there with all that. We are in a unique position. A lot of people respect. It's like the uniforms, people wear a uniform, they automatically tend to get a little bit of respect or at least have a position of authority on things. If we can address some of these issues, tell the people, look, man, the poor people at the counters at these hardware stores and things are having to wear these masks and stuff, Why are you wearing these? You're touching my credit card. You're touching the cash. All this stuff. It makes no sense.
Yeah, the virus has been here for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. It's just like...
Exactly. And that's what's crazy to me is I actually came home from a deployment late last year around that very time frame. A lot of us that were coming home around that time got very sick. I personally believe that I've had it already. So, I know no one in Arkansas or Dallas is kind of the two places that I frequent or, spend most of my time in. And I know zero people that have this virus. Zero.
I personally know one, and this individual had pre-existing conditions and has already fought it and beat it.
Exactly. So one other thing I wanted to touch base on is the Patriot points. I want to encourage all the veterans. We are all uniquely familiar with the apparel companies that, create these awesome T-shirts, and you're walking around base, you're walking around in the gyms and things like that. Every veteran knows exactly what we're talking about. These products that they wear. Use your Patriot points. Buy the product. Get your Patriot points. Use your Patriot points to get the apparel and give the apparel away. For instance, when I was on my way home, I stopped off. I was in 3 different airports. Stopped off at a place in Europe at a base. We were able to go off base. I was coming back on, and I was wearing the Mean as a Wolverine T-shirt. When I came on the base, the security guard at the gate literally said, man, I love your T-shirt. You know what I did? I took it off right there and gave it to the man. You know what? I don't know if he's gonna follow InfoWars now, but I guarantee you that I planted a seed. And I challenge all the veterans out there, because you know have the platform, we have the voice, and if you, and like you said, you know, there's 22 million veterans. That's an army in and of itself, and it could be an information army if we leverage it. And I want to encourage everyone with that. We are uniquely positioned to be awake. We see it every day. You know, it's
and you know, and it just kind of piggyback on that too. You know, you're out at the store or the gas station or whatever, or at Lowe's, like you said. I mean, people are kind of now looking around. They're looking at each other a little more suspicious. Oh, okay, are they wearing a mask? Are they wearing gloves? Do they have hand sanitizer? I'm doing like I walk in, the guy offers me like, you know, one of those wipes for the cart, which, by the way, I've been doing for years. Now I walk in, they offer me a wipe. I say, no. And they're like, what? Like, you don't want the wipe? Like, you're not afraid to die? You're not afraid to die while grocery shopping? It's like, no, I'm not. So I'm not wearing the mask. I'm not wearing the gloves. We do sell the mask if you choose to wear it. But my point is, it's like you can literally fight in the info war just by choosing not to wear a mask, just by choosing not to wear gloves and to fight that fear. And then people see you and they're like, huh, why isn't that guy wearing a mask? He's not afraid. Well, why am I afraid? And, I mean, and then you can go even next level, like you said, wear something on your shirt with a message. Now they see you not wearing a mask and they're like, oh my gosh, that person's not afraid? Well, and then they see your shirt and they're like, huh, InfoWars, what is that? And so, yes, this is a way you can actually use yourself as a real world Paul Revere info warrior. Thank you so much for the call, Luke. Chris, your response to this conversation?
I mean, I agree 100%. I mean, especially some of the benefits that there's also state benefits into around things like apparel, clothes, things like that. We got to take advantage of that and sort of think ahead. I mean, again, I just think that self-preservation is just so key now. And for everyone that always talks about conspiracies, I mean, at what point, like you made the Mike Tyson reference thing earlier, I mean, at what point does reality hit someone right on the windshield where they're like, oh, wow, it makes sense to have, you know, food storage or a firearm or, you know, take these kind of precautions. So I agree. I mean, you got to look out for yourself because otherwise you just can't expect governments to do it because they don't do a very good job at many different – they do a good job of raising an army and collecting taxes. Really, that's about it. Beyond that, I think private sector and individuals do things better.
They're probably not even that good at collecting taxes. Not that I'm upset with that. I don't like taxes. But when you look at the state of New York and California that have the most taxes, they're the two states that are the most in debt. And, you know, it's also a funny thing, too. You know, you go to the mall or whatever, the store or whatever, and you're not wearing a mask and you see the other person not wearing a mask and you have like a moment of connection. That's like, hey, it's nice to see someone that's not afraid. And, you know, there's a moment in 1984 in the book of George Orwell where I forget who Winston, what's the woman's name? I forget, but it's where they finally get to be alone and he like touches her skin for the first time and like sees her without clothes on for the first time. And it's like such a revelatory moment. And it's like, if you read it, that's what the powerful of good authors, you can feel that moment. You can feel that emotion. It's like the same thing. Like you walk around and everyone's got their mask on and then you see someone without the mask and you're like, whoa, a face. Whoa, a human.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
There's cucks.
You're fucking a white male!
And then there's the cuck slayer.
If you impeach Trump, it'll be civil war.
It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
We've got another great guest coming up. Before we bring him on, though, again, I have to remind you, tomorrow, Austin, Texas, State Capitol Building, noon. That's this Saturday, April 25th at noon at the Texas State Capitol. I will be there. Alex Jones will be there. We are rallying, and this is happening nationwide. We're doing our part in Texas. You Can't Close America Rally 2. And this is just to show local government that, look, we're not afraid. We're ready to reopen. If you do reopen, you're not going to have a problem from us. We're going to support you, and we're going to reopen the economy. We're not living in fear. And by the way, it totally defeats this narrative that if you leave your house and mingle with other people, you're going to kill somebody. It's not happening, okay? It's not happening. I've been to two rallies. I've not quarantined at all, other than when I was sick earlier this year. Went to the gym up till they closed. Went out to eat up until all the restaurants closed. Done multiple rallies. Never wear masks. Never wear gloves. And doing just fine, as are 99.9% of us. So it's time to stop crashing the American economy. And it's time to reopen America. And remember, folks, really, it's a miracle. Everything we're doing at this point is a miracle. And it's really, you're the miracle for supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. So remember about InfoWarsStore.com. Get your emergency food supplies there. Get your coffee there. Get your supplements there. Get your hand sanitizer there. Hand sanitizer? What? I thought it was all sold out. Well, we've got it. Think about this. The two most demanded things in America, emergency food and hand sanitizer. And who has the best right now? InfoWarsStore.com. Incredible. All right. Going to go ahead and have Chris introduce our next guest.
I don't know if we're doing, I think he's on the phone. I think we were trying to do video. I don't know if we're doing video or not, but introduce Clint York. We went to high school together. He is a veteran, Army veteran, patriot. And, I actually haven't seen him since high school. We've been talking, but it's kind of an interesting thing because this week just been so much Trump hating online and different things. And I've just been seeing a lot of that sort of cafeteria liberalism. And I saw a post from someone that we knew mutually that was sort of just like a generic, lame Trump bashing thing. And Clint body checked it. I mean, he was like, yeah, well, that's interesting. But what about the Democrat that has dementia? Or what about the fact that this guy's actually taking people on and bringing results and bringing the economy and taking on China? And he hit all these key points. And I'm pretty sure the person backed down or just kind of faded off. And it was just we started talking. And so veteran, great guy. And I just suggested he come on the show. And that's just kind of a good jump off point is people just love the Trump bash, but they just don't have anything there. And I just saw him do it. And I couldn't do it because I just been emotionally so overwhelmed lately with my own family's battle with the coronavirus and with just traveling and fatigue and trying to run a company. I don't think I could have done it without just going nuclear right now. I would have to just do incendiary, but he was able to just kind of like take care of it. And it was great. So Clint, I think we have him, right?
He's ready to go.
Yeah, I'm here, buddy. Chris, how you doing, man? It's good to hear from you. Yeah, we haven't seen each other since high school. Owen, thank you for having me on your show. Great to watch the show. Love your show. And yeah, just to kind of piggyback off of what Chris was saying, it's so much of the Trump hating and Trump bashing and just like the uneducatedness of what people spew out of their mouth because they saw it on a Facebook meme that somebody else made who didn't know what they were talking about. It gets old and it gets very tiring to listen to. I think as veterans, we have a lot more of a stake in caring for the president than a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about have caring for their president because they like to talk out of their feelings instead of out of facts. So, I mean, I think the big thing or a big part of the reason why I'm starting to fight back against this, A, is because I see Chris do it to everybody because I just watch him incinerate people all the time because the knowledge that he has is coming from a factual basis. But what I get tired of is specifically today, it's been going on all day. All of a sudden now Trump told people to drink Clorox and inject themselves with Lysol. I mean, and it is just the most ignorant.
But you know,
thing.
Doesn't that just expose how these people, I don't even know what it is. It's not even, it's beyond low IQ. It's like literally lack of human connection. It's like they don't even have a human connection. Like Trump says, we had cheeseburgers stacked a mile high. And these losers actually take a measuring stick and measure how tall a Big Mac is. And then they do the math and they say, oh, 500 Big Macs is not a mile. Trump lied. And it's like, it's a turn of phrase.
And that's exactly what it is. It's that if Hillary gets on TV, they're lopping up all the soup of everything that she says. If Bernie gets on TV, they're lopping up all the soup of everything that he says. If Sleepy Joe gets on TV, they're buying all of these things that he says, and he doesn't even know what he's talking about half the time. He's a walking, talking, unbelievably uneducated person who sounds stupid every time he opens his mouth. But the second Trump says something, or the second you don't like it because he hurt your feelings because he's defending and going after what nobody has gone after forever to defend our country. It's got to be some sort of backlash
where everyone starts to just form their own opinion because their feelings are hurt, and they're going to say anything that they can to make themselves feel better, and all of a sudden he's the mean orange guy. The thing about being the mean orange guy is I would rather have the mean orange guy than the sleepy guy who doesn't know what he's talking about half the time and probably couldn't even point China out on a map.
Yeah, unless you said, hey, Joe, where is your family getting millions from? Then he'd probably be able to find it, but that's a whole nother story. But how do you...
Exactly.
I mean, how do you even... Because, see, I don't even know how you really deal with this because, I mean, I'm not trying to insult these people. It's just the fact. It's like we're really not even dealing with humans at this point. And I don't know what... I'm not... It's just... I'm serious. It's like, I don't know what to say. 60% of Democrats... 60% of Democrats blame Trump for coronavirus and not China. I mean, literally, if I'm at a party and some guy comes up to me and dumps a beer on my head and slugs me in the face, and then they say, oh my gosh, who did that to you? And I say, it was that guy down the street walking his dog. And it's like, what? Like, everybody just saw that guy walk up and hit you right in the face. And no, it was the guy down the street with his dog. I mean, that's like what these people are arguing.
And it all depends on whether or not the guy down the street walking his dog hurt their feelings recently or not. They don't care about facts. They care about what makes them feel better because they don't want to be talked to meanly. We are living in a weak, weak society of people who don't like to learn anything. They just like to spew things that other uneducated people have told them. And you're absolutely right. I'm not about insulting people. But when people are stupid, I'm not afraid to call them stupid. And that's what makes, like, especially the whole Facebook scenario very, very hard to deal with. Because social media runs with everything and it manipulates everything, and the people on it try to manipulate everyone else who don't really know anything. I mean, I am fighting battles with people who have never spent a day in the military trying to tell me about what it's like to be deployed.
Yeah, and Chris, you were shaking your head. Would you like to respond to that?
Clint is so on the money, it's unbelievable. And I don't know what we got the rest of the blocks throughout the day, but I hope we can just keep him on because there's some other stuff we could go into.
You know what? I'd love to keep Clint on. I do have to take a couple more calls. We've had people holding, and I promised I'd get to them. So we've got 60 seconds. Clint, would you like to make a final comment?
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me come on the show, Chris. Really good to hear from you. Good to talk to you, man. Just to make the final point, there are many, many, many more people that have Trump on their mind. He rents so much headspace for free. He lives rent-free in a lot of people's heads. And that the fact that the Democrats have shown zero cause to ever vote against him is their biggest demise, and that's why he will be elected again.
Chris, take us to break. 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it's Clint's on the money, and it really does come back to the fact thing. And when we come back, I want to elaborate more. I have some other theories on motives of people that Trump bashed that I think are germane to the discussion. But I was just glad he stepped in this week. There was so much negativity, and there was one thing he commented on. It was like a glimmer of hope. I just got back to D.C. I was exhausted from a flight and all this corona stuff. And I'm like, thankfully, somebody actually checks these idiots. And it needs to happen.
Of course, you know, I used to do that out on the streets when we were allowed to go out in public. You know, now that's an illegal activity. All right, we're going to take a couple more calls when we come back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, final segment of the War Room this week. I'll see you tomorrow at the Texas State Capitol at noon. Man, Chris, I'm just reviewing some of these lefties on literally all they can do is bash Trump. I mean, they're so pathetic.
I got to get one in, man, because this is the only one I just got to get in, because Clint and I, this just kind of inspired our conversation. It's like, you don't want to pick on any one person. In my opinion, I'm a free speech person. I try to keep it there. If someone's writing on their page, they can do whatever they want, but there's certain people – they post again and again, and it's just like the catnip liberalism stuff. And this one guy was like, you know, Trump is, you know, like the jellyfish, their mouth and their butt. And then they post it, and it's just like, you know, this guy, you know, Trump got 63 million more votes than this guy that posted this. That's the facts. And I think a lot of people, you know, like this particular guy went to high school, kind of a stud, like high school wrestler, all that kind of stuff, football player. Relatively nice guy. You know, I kind of have mixed feelings about him, but it's like now he's just like kind of a scrub nobody, you know what I mean, who just wants to bash Trump. And the fact is, This is just a guy. It's a narcissist that now doesn't have anything that's worth reporting on. So it's like, I'm going to bash Trump because I need attention.
Yeah, you know, and that's what it is, too. I think with these people that are in D.C., these leftists, it's literally their entire calling for life now, they think, is to get Trump, make him look bad. Every day they wake up and that's their motivation. Every day they wake up and that's what today's the day I'm going to get Trump. Today's the day we're taking Trump down.
And it's like Clint was saying, like you guys were saying, like, it is taking up rent space in your head. So it's like, if you don't really care about the guy, why are you talking about it? And it all kind of plays together. I mean, the hydroxychloroquine, the injections, they're like, don't inject yourself. Well, Americans aren't that stupid that they do everything that the media or hey.
Unless they're leftists, like the one that made her husband drink the koi pond cleaner. But Chris, it gets better. That's actually sad what happened to that guy. It turns out, as I told you, he was in an abusive relationship with this woman. I mean, she needs to be investigated. Now, I told you that months ago. The media is finally catching on. But Chris, it just is breaking now. I'm not even kidding you. And you may have met Chris Cuomo. I can't remember. I know you met Acosta one time. But
I have not met Cuomo.
So, you know, I've always said, Cuomo seems like the kind of guy I could probably enjoy, like, you know, having a beer with. I think we'd have our political licks. But you know, he kind of does a thing with his family and he feels a little personable. But get this. It just came out. Chris Cuomo's wife bathed in Clorox. She bathed in Clorox to fight the coronavirus. I'm not even kidding you. I mean, it's just like the world. I mean, I'm in the twilight zone at this point, Chris. It's crazy.
Well, the Trump thing, too, is like I watched the video. And look, I support a lot of stuff he did. And here's the thing that's funny. I voted for Trump. I also voted for my local Democrat congressman a few years ago, whenever. So I actually split my tickets. Every time someone says Trump supporters, it's like they don't know. That's the definition of ignorance. You don't know. The president said something about it would be interesting, and he talks very conversationally. He never said inject it. So everyone it's like Trump recommended. It's literally a lie. And that's why it was so hilarious. My real laugh when I really laugh is kind of like a hyena laugh. I just lose control because it's like when you hear something so hilarious. But when he saw that reporter, I think his name was Paul, when he was like, hey, Paul, guess what? I'm president. You're fake news. Just hilarious.
or that girl yesterday. He's like, you were CNN. That's fake news. No more CNN. No more CNN. All right. Chris, let's take a couple calls here before we end the show today. Let's go to Corey. Navy veteran from Nevada. Go ahead, Corey.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Good. Thanks for calling.
What's up, Corey?
Cool. Yeah, we had a rally last week in Vegas with probably about 1,000 people turn out. A great rally. It was organized and hosted by us. Us, I mean, the Vegas Proud Boys. And I think there was also one in Carson City that drew about the same amount. This week, we have a couple of billboards. We've been blasting it everywhere. So we're expecting a pretty good turnout in Vegas. I believe there's also one in Carson City. It's at 11 a.m. tomorrow in Vegas at the Grant Sawyer Building. Anybody listening, please show up.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, I've been hoarding APAC Power Stack and X3 for a while, so if y'all ever have a shortage, it's probably because of me.
Well, luckily we don't have a shortage, so you can still go to InfoWarsStore.com and get the 8-pack Power Stack for yourself.
Excellent.
And the Survival Shield X3. Hey, Corey, thank you so much for calling in today and for helping organize those rallies and amplify, hopefully, that movement here on air. Let's take another call here. Susan, Army veteran in Texas. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, Susan Meeling. I'm medically retired from the Army. I had a head injury on Palm Sunday in 2000. And in reference to the immunizations, when I was in medical hold, before it became Warrior Transition Unit, we had several guys who had actually received the anthrax shot. And it's going to I think his name was Luke, who had said after he had returned back from the being serving overseas. I didn't get to do any of that, obviously not graduating basic training, but in medical hold unit, there were several soldiers whose muscles and bones had some severe issues when it came to the immunizations for the anthrax shot. And one of the soldiers in particular had only received the first round. It was one of the first or second testing that they had done on the soldiers. And he had multiple surgeries that attempted to repair his muscular structure, as well as a few other attempts. And he had told me that one of the first groups that went before his particular group, none of them had made it out of the facility.
Well, and I mean, with this whole Wuhan lab and the outbreak, it just kind of reamplifies stories like these. Folks, at the least, they're admitting that they're making these vaccines and an ingredient that just escaped is killing a million people. I mean, they're admitting that. And so, I mean, you think about that. You think about the anthrax shot and them injecting anthrax into soldiers' bodies. And I know what Susan's talking about has actually been documented before. And so it's really sad, actually. I know that Chris can talk about this, too, and all the veterans know this. Susan, God bless you. Thank you so much for the call. I mean, when you join the military, they get about, 10 needles ready to stick into your body, for whatever you got to do. Soldiers take it. But it is sad because people have had their babies die from these shots. People have had, loved ones die. And then they say, oh, no side effects. Or, well, and now you can't sue in court. They're protected. So, this is hurting people. I mean, the coronavirus is hurting people. The vaccines are hurting people. But it's all about control now and enriching the vaccine makers and basically making them your boss. Chris, we got 2.5 minutes left here. What do you want to make for a final word?
Here's the good news. No matter how banned you get, I still have your cell phone. So, I'm just trying to be positive.
You're one of the lucky few.
No matter how banned you get, all capitals banned, I still have your cell phone. So I feel like I'm covered. And even if you guys are now been bought by Facebook as a guest on InfoWars, I can still bash anybody, right? So I'm actually in good shape here. I think we covered a lot of stuff. This is a great show. Usually I'm not dressed like a scrub, but I'm playing all kinds of cards here. I'm playing the Corona card. I'm playing the veteran card. I'm playing the family crisis card. So maybe I'll wear a suit next time. But I got, Roger. I'll have to send Roger a message about this. Look, man, it's a crazy time. I think it shows that the family is key. Individual liberty is key. Firearms are key. And I've never been a gun-toting person. I'm not running around with a gun everywhere. I own a gun. But let me tell you, man, if people have gotten a little weird lately, there's been crime here in D.C. I live next to the police station, and there was a burglary right next door. I mean,
there's drones flying around in California warning people to lock their doors at night because there's been a series of robberies.
It happens, so it's like we're covering it. And this is another thing, too. I'll tell you what, this is a good way to kind of close the show because it kind of ties in. I mean, I'm grateful to the military because the military makes you miserable. I mean, I remember I was boot camp was deployed, and you learn how to be cold, frustrated, sick, socially deprived, no alcohol, no sugar, no candy, none of that. I mean, you're basically just, in a position where you're just training for miserable conditions. You're cold, you're wet, all those conditions, being overseas in 140 degree temperature, and a lot of it's just the unknown. You don't know when you're going to see your family again. I was single and still single. Some semblance of single, I guess you could kind of define that sometimes.
Come on, we don't want to know about your love life here. This isn't Flavor of Love.
Dude, in 47 seconds, oh my goodness. I mean, we'll get that rapper Twister to come here and see if he can get it out in 40 seconds. But no, I think that the military teaches you how to be in a tough spot. And this is – honestly, it feels like the military. But for me, I'm a little conditioned where it's like, oh, this sucks. Just reminds me of the military day. So I think for veterans, at least we have that. For us, it's just kind of like – there's a meme that shows the coronavirus in a veteran's body. Like, how are you alive? And it's like detecting all the other stuff that's in their body.
And, it reminds me of something Dan Bongino said about the Secret Service training, how you're trained to get big. It's time for Americans to get big right now, folks. It's time for us to get big and get loud and to stand up and to save America. Chris Nyweim, thank you so much. All the great veterans that called in and tuned in, God bless.